Morning, everyone. Nice to see you this morning. Worthy is the name of the Lord. Worthy is the name of the Lord. It's a lovely phrase. It's a lovely phrase that we have to be able to share and sing this morning. And how beautiful that this morning we got the little honour and privilege of the worship team just sliding in that Christmas carol. That was good, wasn't it? I like that. I don't know who thought of that, but that was good. That was good. I was going to say Christmas in December, but it is Christmas in December, isn't it? So you have this opportunity to start thinking again of the beautiful gift of God that He's given us. In fact, I've been contemplating sharing the next couple of weeks about that, and you know, looking at perhaps Jesus the Son and then Jesus the Savior, because this is beautiful, beautiful time of the year where the world stops for a moment and thinks about this wonderful season that we know is the season that saves souls. Well, that's what it's about. And so we're honour and privilege to do that together. You know, I think this morning, what encourages me this morning, and if you're here and you've been joining us for many, many years, I want to thank God that you have been such a committed, faithful, I guess, servant of the Lord over the years. Some of you have been with us in this fellowship for 20, 30 years, which is absolutely beautiful to have that fellowship with you. Some, very few, maybe just a few weeks even just today even. But to us, it's no different. It's, you know, you are just as loved and cared for, even if it's your first time today. But what interests me and what most excites me about this morning is that if you're here for two reasons, at least for two reasons. One, because you're curious about faith. And if you're here this morning because you're genuinely curious about faith, you know, you've got questions, someone's mentioned something to you, you know, it's beautiful to see you're here this morning because maybe you've come like I did. I was invited to church, and when I first got invited to church, I didn't know anything about this. In fact, I was a little bit maybe trying to understand it all. And so if you're curious about faith, then that for me is really important this morning. Because I'm trusting and believing that you're going to learn something about faith. Yeah, you're going to learn something. Maybe even for the first time you'll have faith, you know, in believing. Because it's not about me, it's not about our church. It's about Jesus and what He's done for us and who He is. And I pray this morning you see a bit of that glory this morning. And the other thing that really excites me this morning is not if you're just curious about your faith, but if you're serious about your faith. If you're serious about your faith, then I believe and trust that you're going to take something from this morning that the Lord will have to share with you. Because it's His word, it's not my word that I want to share with you. I want to read from different passages in the Bible that talk about what He has to say to us. And when we open up God's word, we're opening up the word of God. We're opening up His words to us. They're not our words, they're my words, they're not the church's words. And so if you're serious about your faith this morning, if you are, and only you know, we're very, very good as humans, very, very good in humans putting a face on. We're very good at doing it. I think the older we get, we master it even better, you know. We put a face on that says, I'm serious, but only you know if you really are. And if you're serious about your faith this morning, then you're going to take something this morning. You're going to take something away this morning. And that's, for me, exciting and important for us. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning, and we're going to open up. I'm going to read. I'm going to start by reading from the book of Exodus, just to continue, finish up this idea I've been sharing with you around the glory of God. I'd like to try and, if God will, God willing, finish it this morning with you, this idea of the glory of God. And as we think about the glory of God this morning as we pray, some of you may not be familiar or still thinking about what that is, but I pray this morning that you becomes a little bit more clearer, but more importantly, that it becomes the very thing that drives your life and becomes the center of your life. So let's pray and ask God's hand and blessing on His word to us this morning. Father, thank you so much for everything and everyone that is here this morning. Thank you so much for everyone that is curiously seeking you and searching you out. And those who are here this morning because they are absolutely serious and committed to following you. Father, I pray that you feed them, you teach them, you help them, you support them, you guide them and encourage them, establish them, that they may be driven by you and you alone, that may be motivated by you and you alone, because you are glorious indeed, Father, and we want to exalt you this morning. So, Father, bless this time that we have to listen to your word. Encourage us in the faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the glory of God is something I've been talking about, because it's something that has continued to be, I think, one of the most significant things that, as Christians, that we ought to understand and make part of our lives. And I've been sharing with you how the glory of God really is anything more than, I think, than anything that reveals something of who God is. Something of who God is. And it might be very small even, and that's the glory of God, and it might be quite significant in our minds, and that's the glory of God. But it really is, if it shows something about God, if it reveals something about God, then it's the glory of God. That's I guess, what I'm trying to share with you. And you would have seen it already this morning, perhaps in different ways, perhaps even before you got here, or even today, even during worship or prayer or communion this morning. At some time, you may have seen something of God's glory already, because you've seen something of God. And how many times this week I've caught myself, or you might have caught yourself this week, in your prayer, in your reflection, even saying something like, Father, glorify your name, or let this glorify you, or be glorified in this situation. How many times have you caught yourself perhaps saying that, thinking that, that what you want in something that you're praying for is that God would be glorified in some way? Because that's who we are. In fact, I can't perhaps express to you the extent in which this has been the very thing that has driven me and motivated me for the last 30 years. The very thing that I want in my heart to see is God's glory revealed through me. God's glory revealed around me. Because what I think it does, it actually makes it less of me and more of him all the time. It becomes more and more not about me, but it always becomes about him. Because what I'm interested in is the glory of God. And yes, that sometimes comes at a cost. Because when I want to show me, I have to find myself coming to the end of myself so that he may be seen, he may be shown, he may be glorified. Even if I think I'm right, sometimes I'll hold back so that he is glorified in that moment, that he is seen in that moment. And that's really, really important. Sometimes, or often, we get a little moment of time to be able to do this. And even though we think it's great, the God's glory becomes even greater than that. It's like a little boy who goes to the beach with his bucket, and he goes into the water and he scoops up a whole bucket of water, and he says to his dad, Dad, look, I've got the ocean here. You know? And of course, the dad smiles, realizing you haven't even started to scrape the ocean, you know. And sometimes we have the honor and privilege of being part of God's glory through something we do and something that we say and a way that we live and the way we behave, and all we're doing is just touching it. We're just touching the glory of God, because it's so greater, so much greater than we could ever comprehend and that we could ever understand. Yet we have the honor and privilege of being part of it in this time in our lives for this period that we live. We get to be part of it. Let's use it. Let's not waste it. Let's use this time that we have to show the world the glory of God, to show those around us the glory of God, to those we love and to those we come across. Let's continue to be part of the glory of God. Because I shared with you last week, because this is not a secret for the world. It's not a secret we hold that somehow we've been allowed to receive, and therefore we say, okay, now I've got it, and I'm going to just cherish it myself like it's my jewel. I'm going to just cherish it, you know, and that's it. But rather, we have this being given to us so we can freely give it, that the world may see. It's not a secret to show the glory of God. In fact, it's what we are called to do. And last week, I tried to illustrate how Jesus himself showed this just by how he lived and what he did and what he spoke and how he interacted with people. And so much so that we talked about how Jesus was both grace and truth. And by being grace and truth, he was revealing God's glory. And so he said in John 17, when he said to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. John 17:4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Beautiful, isn't it? His whole intention yes, was to save the world. But listen to what he says here. I've glorified you. The very thing that drove him. I glorified you, Father. I finished the work you've given me to do. This is before he went to the cross. I finished the work you've given me to do. Ought it not to motivate us, be the very thing that we get up every day? Lord, let me glorify you today. I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, friends, I tell you the truth. If this is your mindset every day, you can't live the same. You can't live the same. Your life is going to shine with the glory of God. It is going to shine. So I want to look at Exodus chapter 33. I want to show you, just share with you a couple of things here before I share with you a few more thoughts. But Exodus chapter 33, we're going to look at a couple of passages in Exodus so we can stay in there. It's the second book in the Old Testament, Exodus. And in chapter 33, and a lot of you would be familiar with this passage when God and Moses are speaking in this. Yeah, so Moses speaking to God, God speaking to Moses, and Moses is wanting to make sure and reassure himself that God is going to go with them wherever the people of Israel go, because the last thing that Moses wants is to go alone. And he needs this reassurance from God. He doesn't want to go on his own. He wants God to go with him and make sure that this is only going to be successful if God is with us. Yeah, they've left Egypt. They've left bondage. They've left slavery. They're going into the promised land, their future, their purpose. And God, Moses is saying, we can't do that without you. You've taken us out. You must go with us. And so he wants this kind of reassurance from God that God goes before them. So in this passage in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses asks something of God. And Moses said to God, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. Interesting, isn't it? What he was interested in was to see God's glory. Show me God. I want to see it. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see it and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be that while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Interesting, isn't it? Way back even then, thousands of years ago, men and women were interested in the glory of God. Even way back then, this is not a new thing. We continue to be interested in God's glory because it's always been something that people have, men and women have been interested in, the glory of God. And this is a very specific request of Moses. God, I just want to see your glory. God says, well, you can't see my face because if you see my face, you'll die. But I've got a plan. I'm going to put you between two rocks, cleft, just a little bit where you can go in there. I'm going to put my hand over. I'm going to pass by. Then you're going to come out and you can see my back. That's just going to be enough for you. I want to point out a couple of things, very quick things from this passage. The first thing I want to point out is perhaps what God is saying to Moses is this. You want to be reassured that I'm going with you? Well, I'll show you how I'm going to show you that. When you come out and see my back, you're going to see that I am going before you. Because I'm there. I'm going before you. Someone goes before you, do you see their front or their back? You see their back. So perhaps what God is saying to Moses is, I want to just reassure you, I'm going to go before you. When you come out, you'll see my back. But what I'm really interested in this passage about in the context of what I'm talking to you this morning is this. When Moses says to God, God, show me your glory, God decides to describe himself to Moses. Did you notice that? When Moses says, show me your glory, verse 19, he says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He goes on to say, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And he'll go on to say, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And I find this really intriguing because if Moses is saying to God, God, show me your glory, the first thing recorded in the scripture that God decides to say to Moses is this, I'm going to show goodness and I'm going to show compassion, and I'm going to show grace. Is that what he says to him? Something about God that he says, Moses, let me tell you something first about my glory. It's gracious. It's compassionate. It's good. It's goodness that we show. Tell me something, brothers and sisters, tell me something. When in the world, if we decide to be people who are absolutely committed to showing God's goodness, God's grace, God's compassion, that people won't see the glory of God? Tell me when. When people are determined to be disrespectful, hurtful, a pain, unkind, difficult, and we say, you know what? I'm going to show them goodness, grace, and compassion. When in the world, when we do this, people will not see the glory of God? Because it's not really hard, brothers and sisters. It's hard because what we're wrestling with isn't their difficulty and their pain and their unkindness and their disrespect. That's not what we're finding difficult. What we're finding difficult is ourselves. Coming to the end of ourselves. Because in those moments when we are showing goodness, grace and compassion, we are coming to the end of ourselves knowing, boy, man, that's the last thing these people deserve. But to show the glory of God, I will be this to them. So I find it intriguing. I found it fascinating. I find it enlightening that when Moses says, show me your glory, God says, let me tell you about my goodness, my grace, and my compassion. Are we people that really want the glory of God? Then it's not out there in the world hard to understand. It's not untouchable that we can't grasp it. But the goodness and the grace and the compassion of God begin to reveal something about God through our lives. And people see his glory. So why is this important to us? Why does it, if it's important to God, why does it continue to be important to us as his children? I would suggest that it's important to us because it is the very thing that makes our purpose real in life. When I get up every morning and I think, Lord, I just want to live for your glory, and my whole day is filled with purpose. Everything I do has purpose. From the washing of my floor to the speaking to someone in need has purpose because I want to live for the glory of God. To the responding to someone who loves me and the person who's difficult, I wanted to see God's glory. My whole day is filled with purpose. Because all I'm interested in is my life a revelation of the glory of God? And not just me, but all of us. All of us. Because if we're curious about faith or serious about faith, then this has to be it. Everything we do for God's glory. Do you remember that passage in Corinthians where Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do to the glory of God. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then he goes on to say, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now remember the context in that Paul was writing was that he was wrestling out this idea of idolatry and people offering food to idols, and people were perhaps asking the question, should I eat it or not eat it? They're saying that's offered to idols. And Paul made it really simple. Just eat, unless they tell you it is, and then don't eat for their sake. And all he's trying to say is this, that when you do something, do it for God's glory, even eating. And when you don't do something, even eating, then do it for God's glory. Does that make sense? Because at the end of the day, what is going to most glorify God? Rather than trying to set up these rules that are so prescriptive that every day we need to think to ourselves, this does, this doesn't, just what does glorify God? And Paul's saying, sometimes you're going to eat and it's going to glorify God, and sometimes you're not going to eat and that's going to glorify God. But at the end of the day, are you glorifying God? This sounds to me like someone who's a servant of the Lord, whose interest is really in being a servant of God. Not serving themselves, but in serving God. If you have a chance this week to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is addressing a whole range of issues in that chapter. I'll give you a little summary. He's addressing issues like selflessness, purity, even sexual purity, self-control, honesty, integrity in relationships, generosity. He's addressing these issues in the church. He's saying, let me tell you something about these things because I'm not seeing it. And after he speaks about issues that address selflessness and purity and self-control and honesty, integrity in relationships, generosity, after he talks about all these things, he concludes with this. Do you want to hear it? He concludes with this. This is his conclusion. After he talks about all these things, he says this, for you were bought at a price. Now that's really strong language. That's really strong language. He's telling us and reminding us that our whole lives have been purchased with someone who paid a price. Now, I'm assuming they would have understood that language because in those days, the purchasing and the selling of slaves were quite familiar with them. And he would have said, you've been purchased with a price. You've become someone's. You are now owned by someone. But thank God it's not people, it's God. And after he talks about all these things that are really serious matters about integrity and honesty and so forth, and when he talks about all these things, he says, we've been bought at a price. And then he doesn't conclude there. He says, now that you've been bought at a price, and of course that price is the blood of Jesus Christ, he says this, therefore, now aren't you interested? Okay, I've been bought at a price, the price of Jesus. He says, therefore, okay, what do I do now? What do I need to do now that I've been bought at a price? He goes, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that language is interesting in light of what he just shared. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so when we understand that our lives are his, that we are servants of the Lord, that we are now under his lordship and leadership, well, Lord, I want to glorify you in my body and my spirit because they are yours. This is my purpose. This becomes our purpose and the way we most fulfill our lives. In fact, I believe it impacts every little thing we do because it creates a whole mindset that says, I want my behavior to glorify him. In fact, what I think it does, it makes us less interested in getting any glory and committed to seeing him glorified. I think this doesn't restrict us, brothers and sisters. I don't think it restricts us. I think it liberates us. I think it actually genuinely liberates us. Because it's not about a whole set of rules. It's, Lord, I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to live my life. I've got pursuits, I've got dreams, I've got ambitions, I've got goals. I'm going to go live my life. But I'm going to live it knowing whatever I do for the glory of God. I think it frees us. I think sometimes Christians get into the problem of setting themselves up a whole list of things that are so prescriptive around what we can do and can't do. That we worry. Is this God's will? Is it not God's will? Is it God's will? Is it not God's will? Well, does it glorify God? Because people see the Lord through us. We are designed, brothers and sisters, to live in this light. We are designed to live in this light. It's like a diamond. Put it in the dark, nothing. Put it in a dark room, what are you going to get? Nothing. Put it under the strong light of the sun and it will radiate brilliant colors. Brilliant colors. Because it's designed, if it's going to radiate these beautiful colors, it's designed to live in the light. This is the glory of God shining because we are in him. as he's called us. And after all that is said and done, isn't it true? After all that is said and done, when we live like this, don't we become like light on a hill? Isn't that what Jesus said? So let your light shine before men, that when they see your good works, they will what? Glorify your Father in heaven. That when you let that light shine before others, you are not only set a city set on a hill that can't be hid, but you will show the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so this is what I want to finish with. If you go to Exodus chapter 40, just a few more chapters ahead, and I'll just finish with this passage. Now, for those of you that are familiar with what is happening in this chapter, we're not going to read it all, but let me just give you a 30-second summary of it. Israel, of course, are traveling through the wilderness. They're going to their promised land. The whole nation is being protected and led by God. And along the way, of course, they still need to do their rituals and sacrifices and worship and their altar sacrifices that are to bring an aroma that's pleasing to God and all those things that we've been speaking about. So now they have finished under God's instruction in establishing and creating and building the tabernacle. Not the temple, but the tabernacle, which would be pulled down and take and established, installed again as they traveled. Now God has finished telling Israel and Moses how they are to do this, and he's giving all these instructions, very detailed instructions around, you know, washing basins and things for the altar and what the priest should wear and bring the priest and anoint them with oil and set them apart for God's service. And he goes through and he talks about a whole range of things to get it prepared, every little detail about the tabernacle, to get it prepared and then fasten its sockets and install it and cover it and all those sorts of things. We're at a point now where Moses has done it all and it's ready. Every little detail God asks of him in order to set it up for the worship of God is now ready. He's got the basins out. He's anointed the priests. He's set it up the way God wants. Covered. He's got it ready. What do you think happens then? Look at verse. This is straight after. Yeah, straight after verse 34, chapter 40. And in verse 34, the Bible says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Is it any surprise? Is it any surprise to us? Is it any surprise? Listen carefully, brothers and sisters, and I'll finish with this. Is it any surprise that when someone who follows the Lord is absolutely committed to doing the will of God and being faithful to his word, following in his footsteps, listening and obeying the instructions of doing everything God has called them to do, is it any surprise to us that the one who is faithfully following their Savior, it's impossible for them to not then show the glory of God? It's impossible. Now, I know I might be stretching it a little bit, but I want you to understand something. It's just like every time when I shared with you some time ago, if we abide in Christ, are we guaranteed to produce fruit or is it still a maybe? We're guaranteed, aren't we? It's not something we have to work hard for. We abide in him, we will bear fruit. It's going to happen. Listen, brothers and sisters, if we follow him faithfully, we will shine with the glory of God. It will happen. The glory will shine. The glory will come. The glory will be revealed. Not because we're seeking it and hoping for it, but because we're faithfully following him. It's like a mirror. You know, you get a mirror and the mirror on its own doesn't have any light. But shine it on a light and all of a sudden it has to shine the light out, doesn't it? It has to. because it's facing the light. The glory of God will shine. And that ought to be, brothers and sisters, if you take nothing else, the very thing that motivates us as his children, that others may see his glory. That's exciting. Let's pray. This morning, I'd like to encourage us all to think about our lives today as a, if you like, a mirror that is facing where? A heart, our hearts that are facing to who? That our lives become not a diamond in the dark, but under and in the direct light of God. Because our lives are committed to him. Yes, there are moments that there are challenges in life and there are times we just feel we're not shining any glory. But that's not our life. Our life is to push through that. It's to persist through that. It's to know that they are just moments and seasons, but overall our life is to live for God's glory. And so the very desire to continue to shine with God's glory means we persist through those moments. We let go of those moments. We release from these moments because we're not, this is not what who we are. And we come into the light and we say, Lord, restore and heal that I may shine with your glory. The next time I have the opportunity with people, let me show your glory. Even the unkind and the kind, let me show your glory. Every time I have an opportunity to show me or you, make it be that I show you. Let your light shine, Lord. Let your glory be seen. Let's worship together before we pray. And in the words of Numbers, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.